League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Welcome back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now time to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemy. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
DJ, we'll get into football quickly here. DJ Bienemy, ESPN, ESPN.com, covers the Texans. But first I want to ask you, we were just talking about what was the last network TV shows we watched, like ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox. I haven't watched a network program consistently. Like, you're watching it every week for about 5 years. Blankers was like 15 years. Brian, I don't think owned a TV. What what was the last network show that you watched consistently?
So when we say that, are we including like, hey, it's on TV, but you could also watch it on Hulu right after?
I think if it's
as
a network
long as
it's
show, on one of the major networks.
Yeah, I think if it's a network show, I think that's fair. Yeah, I think it's so okay.
I would say Abbott Elementary.
I like that show. I watch that show, but I don't watch it consistently. Like, I'll let them like build up a few shows, and then I'll like watch a few of them at a time. My wife really likes that show too. I actually do like that one. That one is solid, but I don't watch that
one
consistently.
One, though. That's the only one.
Yeah, it's been a while. Like, I mean, everybody streams now, and the good shows are like on other networks. But Abbott Elementary is a good call. I do like that show. Mm-hmm. That one's pretty good. All right, to football, DJ. Thank you for humoring us there for a second. Where do you stand on the whole rest guys with three games to play, Texans three games in 11 days, seeding is in play, but kind of not really? Where's your stance on that?
I would say it just really comes down to if you win tomorrow. If they beat the Chiefs, then, like, you got to try to get to – that's where you get 12 wins, and you can see where the chips lie. Because if you beat the Chiefs, then you beat the Ravens, right? Now you're at 12, and there's a chance you can get all up to the 3 seed. I'm not saying – I mean, I highly doubt you can get to where Buffalo is, the 2 seed, mainly because Buffalo – I mean, granted, yeah, you beat them, but Buffalo, they got the drux of the AFC East left. They got Bills, Jets, Bills. I mean, at that point, they could
They got Patriots.
And, you know, you and me suit up, and we'll be able to win some games for the Bills. So I think that, but you never know. You never know. Again, it's football. Things do, funnier things do happen. The defense hasn't been as good as lately, but again, like, you never know. But again, like, if you win tomorrow, it changes the math for you. It gives you possibilities and things to play for. But if you lose, I think you can focus on resting guys for week 18, maybe like a half, maybe a quarter, then go from there. Because I think at that point, you're kind of locked in to the 4 seed, unless, like, Pittsburgh completely collapses and you beat the Ravens. And then things get a little bit different. But I would say the only game I could really see about resting is that game. But I think the Ravens game, you got to win that game for your own psyche. Cause that team is, you know, they ended it. They started and ended your season with L last year. And I know that a lot of the moves you made was to close the gap between the top tier teams, which were the Chiefs, Ravens, and obviously Bills. You beat the Bills. Now you get a chance to beat the Ravens. I mean, you know, beat the Ravens and the Chiefs coming up soon.
So I'm curious, DJ, are we locked in now that this is our offensive line for the rest of the season? I know that, you know, we've had discussions and you had mentioned, look, when Kenyon Green comes back, we all know he can run block. Would he ever factor in again? But now that they've made this kind of more drastic move and moved Titus and Fisher's getting the tackle spot, is this what we're going to see the rest of the way? Is this consistency-wise now just play them together, have them build more chemistry, and we're going to roll with these five?
Yeah, I would lean that way mainly because, you know, I mean, fair or not, Blake technically is a D'Amico and Bobby guy, right? Like, they actually drafted him. Kenyon Green was part of a different staff. Again, he's still the same GM, but Kenyon Green was part of a different staff. Titus, is effective enough. I love guard from a pass blocking standpoint, where it's a much of a it's enough of an upgrade over Kenny Green. Kenny Green's run blocking and pass blocking. Now, I'm not saying he's a better run blocker than Kenny Green. I don't think that. But I think that when you factor in both sides, it's enough to where you can say it's an upgrade. And Blake held his own a little bit against Chop Robinson, even though he gave up a couple of sacks. A sack and the pressure, a few pressures actually. But I think he still held it down effectively enough. So I can see that. I still don't think it's good enough because they can't run the ball. And I think that to win in December, they're going to have to, in January, they're going to have to be able to run the ball, man. I think that the offense passing-wise is kind of plateaued, and this is what you're going to see for the rest of the season. There's no reason to think that you're going to see something different, right? Like, there's no reason to think that. Why? You know what I'm saying? We've seen this offense the entire season, right? So if they can't run the ball, they're an ineffective offense, and as simple as that. So I think that I still think it's going to be tightest for the foreseeable. But if they go back to Kenny, I think that'd be a smart move because for them to get to where they want to get to, they're going to need to run the ball. And right now, since Kenny's been out, it's either Joe rushes over 100 or he rushes for under 50. Right against Miami, he couldn't get much going. And it's not like Joe all of a sudden is slowing down. No, there aren't as many running lanes. So I think it's pretty clear, but. Again, like Kenny Green isn't one of their guys. They lost all faith and trust in him, and it is what it is.
Yeah, hope probably is the only thing that you'd be hoping for because of the passing attack. But I agree. Like they've shown us all year what they are offensively. I agree with you that it'd be foolish to kind of expect it to change. But what do you think is the biggest reason as to why? Because there's some opinions out there about C.J. Stroud. His production is down, but has he regressed? Is it all the offensive line's fault? Is it Bobby Slowick? How would you assign value to those three things as to why the passing game is disappointed?
Yeah, I would say, a combination of Stephon getting hurt, the interior offensive line struggling with stunts the entire season. That has affected CJ, obviously, because last year he had a lot of clean pockets. He was 16th in pressure rate, which is a quarterback under pressure, but he had the third longest time to throw, which speaks to, he was getting clean pockets last year. And, when he has clean pockets, he can really dissect you. He just needs time to kind of get through, because he wants to push the ball down the field. Like, I had one coach tell me that game plan against him, he's not necessarily a rhythm passer, and he can be, but he's more of a guy that wants to get the big plays, and you got to give him clean pockets to do that. And obviously the pockets haven't been like that this year. Then obviously the receiver room outside of Nico with Steph being hurt, it's kind of been, it is what it is. Like, guys haven't necessarily made a lot of plays for various reasons. And then, again, I would say, CJ's accuracy has been a tad bit off. And that happens, Like, in year two, I remember I was watching Cam Newton on first day. He made a really good point about it. When you're a rookie and you have a great first year, you want to outdo that. But sometimes it's hard to outdo that because that might not be your natural progression. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes, you kind of got to stay around that same vicinity and that same breath. And then you eventually pop, right? For most guys, it's year three when they really, really pop. Josh Allen popped year three. Jalen Hurts, Tua, you have these guys like Lamar and Mahomes who popped year two, popped the first year as a full starter, but those guys are the anomaly. Most guys pop year three. You know what I'm saying? I would say even like year three or four. I think Deshaun, I know that's not an area I want to talk about, but I think his best years were year three and four. Obviously, 2020 was his best statistical season. Because that's at that point, that's when you've seen the majority of defenses that you're going to see. Because think about it, he's seen defenses this year that he hasn't seen before, right? Teams he's seen only variations of it, right? And now teams have film on him. Like, this year was the first time I've ever seen a Brian Flores defense. This is his first time I've ever seen an Anthony Weaver defense that he saw last week, right? This is the first time he's seen a lot of too high, so he's having to learn how to work through all that while also the interior offensive line hasn't been good enough to give him that protection. Guys feel like off the edges, he's fine. Like, if you get pressure around him off the edges, that's not going to affect him as much. But pressure up the middle is most quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? So I would say that, this is a combination of a bunch of things and, just an inability to consistently, week to week, run the ball,
DJ, is it fair to say that this game could come down to the two offensive lines? Because Orlovsky, I'm sure you've seen it, but Orlovsky was big on the fact that the Chiefs are going to feed off of the fact that they're going to have their way with the internal offensive linemen of the Texans. But on the flip side, you know, the Chiefs are in a similar predicament where they are playing musical chairs with their linemen, and the way that they have been getting home and putting pressures on a quarterback, especially if Mahomes is less than 100%, it seems to me like the obvious thing to look at is this: whoever's offensive line blocks better is going to have a huge advantage.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the game will come down to that. As simple as that, right? Like, Danielle Will, both top seven in sacks, Texas second in sacks, top three in pressure rate, period. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Chiefs have the boogeyman and Chris Jones, right? Like, this is probably the worst matchup that the Texas O-line versus their, the opposing D-line will see the entire year, easily.
Quinnen Williams would like to have a word.
Yeah, well, I would say this is probably worse. I don't think it'd be the same result. It probably won't be the same result, but it'll be worse because Chris Jones is better than Quinnen Williams, and Spagnuolo is a better DC than Jeff Ulbrich. So I think it could be, even though CJ, whatever, had a bunch of, he was under pressure constantly throughout that day, I think it could feel worse in this matchup because Steve will be able to, one, I think he'll do a good job or a decent job of limiting Nico, and then that'll be that. Like, it could be in that situation where it's like, oh, man, what do we do? Because in that game, they still ran the ball effectively. The Jets did. The Texans did against the Jets. If they can't run the ball, it could be a long, long, long day. Because the Jets game was kind of weird, though, because, like, they still had moments where they got to the red zone and, like, CJ fumbled because Kenny Green or whatever, or missed field goal, or I think Tommy missed like two field goals that game or whatever. You know what I'm saying? Like, that one was a weird game where you can look pinpoint, like, plenty of plays where that could have been a blowout, right? If CJ doesn't fumble in the red zone because of Kenny Green missed block, they score a touchdown to get three, let's say the two field goals turn into points. Like, that whole tenor of that game is vastly different against the Jets, because the Jets would have packed it up, right? Where this game, you know what I'm saying? Like, Chris Jones could really wreck stuff. But you flip it, the Texas D-line can put Mahomes under a lot of pressure. And if they can do that, they could be looking at a 2017 game. The issue is the Texans want to be a team that's up by a bunch. You know, that is up, that's up, right? Because you don't want to keep it close against Mahomes. If you keep it close, they'll find a way to get it done. They've been doing that the entire year, and there's no reason to think that they won't do that. But I do think it's funny because I don't think the Texans have given up, if my math is correct, I don't think they've given up a go-ahead touchdown score outside of, I think, maybe they're like the Tennessee game. Usually if it's like the last drive, like they usually nail it shut. You know what I'm saying? Tennessee game was always a little different, but I think the majority of the season, they haven't given up. Every time there's an opportunity, they shut the door.
DJ, I hope you packed that old New York winter clothes for the trip to Canada. How cold is it supposed to be during the game tomorrow?
I have it packed. I'm not looking forward to it, but I have it packed.
What's the weather report?
Yeah, is it going to be how cold?
I think right now, the way it's looking, I landed in the 20s. It's 28 right now. Tomorrow, it should be, unfortunately, a high of 37.
Okay.
But by kickoff, kickoff be like in the 30s. That's not too bad. Mm-mm. I played in a 30-degree weather game. If you put on a long sleeve, you'll be all right.
Is it going to be dry? Because, wet 30 is different than a dry 30, as we all know as athletes.
Yeah, It'll be dry.
Okay.
It'll be dry.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, DJ, enjoy Kansas City and that mediocre barbecue.
I might try it out soon. I'm writing a story on the Neil Will. But after that, I'm going to try some barbecue. And we'll see. We'll see how good it is. But I do got to burn it off once I get back.
All right, we'll report back next week. It's not bad, actually. Kansas City barbecue is not bad. It's not as good as Texas, but it's pretty good. DJ, we'll talk
Texas
to you down the road.
Overrated.
What's that?
Texas barbecue is overrated.
Oh, hang up on that guy. I was going to thank DJ for coming on. I was going to wish him a Merry Christmas. But if he says that sort of blasphemy, he gets hung up on. He would understand
every
that.
Bit of that.
Yeah, he gets hung up on if he's saying that. You kidding me? Texas barbecue is overrated? We may never have DJ on the show again.
I know, my car wreck of the day nominee.
Yeah.
Why? Overrated?
That was an awful
take. He needs to end
take.
Up on Thursday next week also.
Overrated?
We have a show.
Wow.
I wonder what he thinks is good. I'm going to have to – we're going to have to talk further about this.
Well, I know he went to Louisville, so maybe Memphis barbecue?
I was going to say Memphis.
That's not
is
that
where I was
close, though, right? Like
I've
Louisville,
never been
Kentucky?
To Kansas City.
I was trying to think of what
it's
the
pretty
next
good. They're like burnt. They're like more burnt ribs.
But I was very underwhelmed in Memphis.
Yeah, Memphis does more vinegary base, right? Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit more like pork.
Yeah,
Kansas City barbecue is good. I will say, especially their burnt ends is kind of what they specialize in. It's not as good as Texas barbecue, though. I'm questioning DJ's food takes now. I really am. I'm gonna have to ask him next week what he thinks is good. Like, what are his favorite foods? What are his favorite things around town? Because now I seriously question almost everything he says, and I also think his bad football or his bad food takes may carry over to football now. I don't know. Like, I always believe him in football. Like, I respect his work a great deal. But now that he had that to say about Texas barbecue,
I'm not
sure I can believe him in anything.
Is he Dana Brown level of not believing him?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay.
At least with food.
Yeah, okay.
At least with food.
All right.
Across the landscape
was
of life, I don't know.
Was there a more offensive food take he could have said to us just now that
not
Texas
really.
Barbecue is overrated?
The only thing that could be close is if he said that Tex-Mex is overrated.
Yeah, I was thinking
like
that.
Like, Dalton Schultz said that. Dalton Schultz, like, he said he doesn't
get
like Tex-Mex. Why'd they re-sign that bum?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, no wonder he plays lazy and soft. You know, like Tex-Mex. You
take
can't trust a guy
that
Tex-Mex.
Take your neck beret and everything and get the hell out of here and your lack of effort once you catch the football.
Those are the worst two food takes you can have in Houston.
Oh, no doubt.
That Texas barbecue is overrated and that Houston Tex-Mex is not good.
I agree.
Those are the two worst. I don't think there can be any worse than that.
Yeah, what else food-wise would you even have close to that?
I mean, that's it.
I don't know if I'd have it close, but if he had anti-Kalashi takes, I might have a fist. But I mean, that's
a fist.
I mean,
it might be the Shipley steak.
Nah,
I'm not going to die on the hill, Shipley's.
That's up there. That's probably
it
in
is.
The
There's
Mount
a lot
Rushmore.
Of people, Shipley's and Whataburger are very passionate discussions.
I think Shipley's is overrated.
I'm just saying, Texans defend Shipley's.
I know, but I don't
Texans
get it.
They do.
Defend Whataburger hard.
Born and
they
raised do. Here, but I don't get the Shipley's defense. They're, it's not that good.
I like Shipley's donuts. I do.
It's fine.
You can find better donuts.
Exactly.
I think the same thing with Whataburger. I like Whataburger a whole lot. I think you can find better burgers. And plus, Whataburger sold out. Like, let's not
ignore
that.
That's true. They did sell about 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, let's not ignore that. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's get to our favorite storylines against Kansas City. And also, what you thought of Thursday Night Football between the Chargers and the Broncos. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5. And if you want to blast DJ, that's fine, too. 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
ESPN 97.5 Christmas party right around the corner. Monday. It's Monday. Join us at Nick's Place, December 23rd. That's Monday. For all the partying and games from John and Lance in the morning through the Killer Bees, come hang out with us. Get the Christmas week started right. 713-780-ESPN. We'll get into our favorite Chiefs-Texans storylines in a minute, but let's roast DJ being a me for a little bit. Texter, more like DJ being a nay. Am I right? That's not a good one. Not the best joke there.
No.
I don't really
That's
like
not even
that
Joel worthy of a that kind of
nah,
thing.
That was not
That's
very
bad.
Good. Ryan, hot food take. The best donuts and kolaches in Houston are found in the hole-in-the-wall Vietnamese bakeries. You know, I don't think I've tried that, actually.
I have not either.
Have you partaken in that at all,
Midtown,
Brian?
In Midtown, I've heard that, but I have not partaken.
I love me some Vietnamese food, though. Give me a little bit of pho. What do they call the vermicelli bowls? Am I pronouncing that right?
Those are amazing.
Those smack. I love me a good vermicelli. How do you not like vermicelli? Vermicelli is great.
Trying to trend youthful by saying that smacks.
I heard from
Where'd
the kids.
Where'd you hear that from?
Well, actually, a long time ago. Okay. I heard a couple of years ago that it's not that food smacks and music slaps,
right.
But food smacks. Like, if you're saying that food slaps, you got it all wrong.
I can understand that because you're always smacking your lips if the taste is really good. Yeah.
I don't know if that is the origin of that, but it might be.
That's pretty good.
I don't know.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good origin story.
Sounds reasonable.
That's a pretty good. I think you might be right, actually.
Your hand is slapping on the music.
Okay, you lost me there.
Now you ruined it.
You went too far.
Your hand slapped. We were doing it with the bump music.
I think you should stop. I think you should. A lifelong Texan. I'm also a sauce guy. Kansas City barbecue better. Okay, never text the show again.
Yeah.
I like a good little smoke and smoke flavor. Like I don't despise sauce, but to give me like high quality barbecue, I don't want the sauce.
I think that it's always the discussion is always if it's good enough, you don't need sauce. And exactly. I always believe that Texas barbecue is always so good because you don't need sauce for it. It's flavored right. And it tastes great all by itself.
If it's done right, it doesn't need sauce. I will agree some sauces can enhance, but it shouldn't have to have sauce if it's done right.
Yeah. Lance would like a word about Texas barbecue. Maybe DJ had Lance's barbecue, and that's why he thinks barbecue is overrated in Texas. DJ
well
needs
done.
To
forget about burnt ends. The whole thing was burnt.
Yeah.
I saw Lance tweet the other day that he went to Champ's Burger for the first time in his life.
I thought he was a foodie.
I think he's a faux foodie. Yeah. Chance Burger has been around forever. Like maybe my whole life. They're so good. First time he's ever been there, and he calls himself a foodie? I'm calling BS. Mm. His brisket, his Champ Burger, like first ever time?
I'm going to ask the follow-up to you specifically, Jeremy. Yeah. Have you been to Trill Burger yet?
I have not. No, okay. But that hasn't been around for 30 years. And it's also still, long lines.
It's not that bad anymore.
What's that?
It's not that bad anymore.
Nick Skirfeld sets up so many different shows, and he's always said it. And I forget who the last host was that said that they hadn't had Trill Burger, and it was there the next day. Well, where's ours?
Yeah, I haven't had Trill Burger.
Jeremy hasn't had Trill Burgers. Bring it up.
I've been very high
show.
On my list. I keep telling you guys when we keep talking about
been there
food takes. No, I've never been
I'm
there.
The only one of us three that has that's
You
been
are.
There?
Okay.
I mean, you have to give us some time, though. Like, we have family and kids.
I have family and kids.
Yeah, but you like to eat more than we do.
And I'm also highly challenged by the fact that... I've also been highly challenged by the fact that my wife and kids don't eat burgers.
I'm also 30 pounds overweight. I'm kidding. Pena Donut Heaven in Pearland is great. I have had that place.
They're
Cougars.
Are they?
The other Cougars really? There. Yeah, go Cougs. Yeah, they are. They are very good as well. Now I can picture in my head is Joel slapping the bass.
I just pound your hand on the table, whatever. On the West Coast, when you travel, they say the greatest donuts in the country are Voodoo Donuts.
There's one here now.
Voodoo in Portland.
There's one here.
I've had one in Seattle, I think.
Is there one here
now? There's a Voodoo Donuts here. I've been to it. It's pretty good.
I think there's too much going on, quite frankly. Like, I'm pretty simple with my food. I'm a keep it simple, stupid guy pretty much specifically. I feel like whenever you have really good food, you just do the simple very good. Like a good steak. You just do the simple steak better than anybody. Good barbecue. Best brisket. Very simple. Voodoo has so much stuff on their donuts.
Is that right?
Yeah, they have like sprinkles. They have like, you know, these different types of frosting.
Yeah.
There's too much going
on. Cereals, whatever. Yeah, they have lots of bacon. They have tons of different variations.
I think the original, before they kind of branched out, is in Portland.
Yeah, that is correct.
They wait overnight sometimes to try to get to those donuts.
Oh, yeah. Very popular.
I think the one here is on, it might be on Montrose, but it's in that sort of area.
Okay.
Pit Rome is criminally underrated. Pit Rome's great. Pit Rome's very, very good. Round Rock Donuts, the best donuts in the world. I did that when we went to Kalahari. I think I butchered that name. Kalahari.
Well, right. Kalahari.
I think it's Kalahari. Kalahari. I said Hira or something. I don't know, whatever. Round Rock Donuts, very good. Okay. Now, I don't like it, the frosting. Like, the actual donut itself is very good. The frosting I could do without, but it's massive. It's like huge donut. It is very good. I agree with the texture there. I've lived in the Houston area since the 90s and never heard of Champ's Burgers. Okay. Well, you're not a foodie. Champ's Burgers is great. It's in the hood. It has a little walk-up, trailer. Yeah, there's only one Champ's Burger. I had a Champ's Burger probably 3 months ago. Very good. It's pretty close to U of H.
I was going to say, is it near the campus?
Kind of. I mean, it's on that side of town. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. Damon, you're in the hive with the bees. What's up, Damon?
I had it in day, sir. Gentlemen.
Yeah, I'm doing good.
I just wanted to talk about the, I guess y'all talking about Tex-Mex and I guess you said Texas barbecue was overrated, or DJ said that?
Yeah, you said barbecue.
Just being a local Texan born and raised here, man, I grew up on a lot of different Texas barbecue, you could say that, man. But Papa's barbecue, well, back in the day was kind of right, man. I'm going to say it's the best. But we have, I'm on a cook-off team. It's called Trippy Cookers. And we have, like, called the beef ribs. When, you know, so I know people say, you know, they put sauce in the deal.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we don't really need salt to make them put this rub on it, man. And it's straight, like, Deep Rev, man, and these people just were just tearing it up, man. They're like, oh, you know, it's a good beef rib. You want more, not the baby back rib, man, but you want more, like a good rib. And all
like
that.
A dino rib, the beef rib?
I mean, sir?
Like the dino rib, the big giant beef rib? Yeah.
Yeah. So it's called the beef rib. You can say beef rib. So, and that's what we used to have cooked over there on all the time in our booth and all that, man. And, I mean, and it's a lot of so much different barbecue because people from different areas have come down and join the Houston Rodeo. Basically in the big Houston Rodeo one. And, I mean, you have all different people from different all parts of the world. But it's good just to see competition. I mean, you want to see the best of the best. From
right.
Texas Barbecue,
Damon,
we're
this is
known.
Joel. Have a happy holiday, man.
Was that an advertisement? Did we get duped into an advertisement for his barbecue team?
Damon, love you, Damon. Call back anytime.
Like, the topic on our call screener that the intern got was Papacitos, and he went into his barbecue team.
He said Papacitos is overrated,
which is what he wanted to talk about.
You only got him so long. I disagree wholeheartedly. I think Papacitos is great.
I love Papacitos.
I just don't think it's the – people label it as the best in Houston. I don't see it as that.
I think it's fair to say it's not the best, but to say it's like not great.
It's really, really good.
I would take original Nefas. I would take original Nefas. Sure. I would take Lupe Tortilla over it.
Oh, I'm not taking Lupe.
And
though,
I think probably not
me either. Mm-mm. Yeah, mm. I think it's. I like El Tiempo.
I think I'd put Papacitos 4 behind those.
And
three.
You can find some good salsa, the red salsa.
It's really good, really good salsa. I like, and their chips are very.
Their
good.
Chips,
great
are fantastic.
Compliment to
yep.
the salsa.
Yep,
great. I don't go to Papacitos a ton because it's very highly priced, and I think you can find some hole in the wall spots that are.
Agreed.
Also very good.
And they were the one to capitalize on it because everybody, when they started getting into the whole go to Houston for Tex-Mex, Papacitos. Was getting all those best ratings and best
they
in
also
Houston.
They're still very themselves
good,
well
very good.
To be
it's
like
very good.
Next to airports, next to, and, you know, across the street from Energy Park. They put themselves in areas that were highly trafficked by, I think, out-of-towners as well.
It's brilliant.
Smart.
Like, yeah, no, you're saying that like it's a bad thing,
no,
Brian.
No, I mean, Joel was talking about how when people started coming here for Tex-Mex,
when the Houston press
used to
always have their awards and whatever, and then they raised their prices because everybody wanted to go to Papacitos if you wanted Tex-Mex.
Yeah, they smartly positioned themselves in those trafficked areas.
Yeah, I still – give me their beef fajita. Their beef fajita is so good.
I don't really care for it. We've talked about this. I don't like Chewy's red salsa. I don't like
– it's kind of mid.
I like Lupe Tortilla's red salsa, but I really
don't really want.
But
red
I
salsa
really usually. Like Papacitos.
I haven't had Lupe in a while. I might have to give him another try. I haven't had it in probably
Lupe's
years,
great.
Probably three,
I love
four
it.
Years, maybe.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
I'll have to give it another
they just
shot.
Never get our order right.
All right, give me one favorite storyline because we hijacked the segment. One and quick.
I mean, I think to me, it's what I said to DJ. I think the storyline's going to come down to the offensive lines because as much as everybody has been pouncing and rightfully so on the Texans line all year. The Chiefs line is banged up. They're playing musical chairs with their linemen. And I think that the Texans could have a really big advantage, especially with a less than 100% Mahomes. I'm really curious as to how disruptive the pass rush can be this week because I think they can take advantage of the Chiefs line.
My favorite storyline is Charles Omenihu.
That was big, yeah.
See what Charles Omenihu had to say about the Texans?
I still need to edit that.
He said,
there's a curse word
he
in
said,
it.
I don't. Bad word with them.
Yeah, I don't.
I'm really looking forward to this game. I didn't realize he hated the Texans.
I didn't realize
he didn't end well here.
But then I was listening to John and Lance this morning, and Lance said that when JJ was really hypercritical back in the day of how like certain guys were just not practicing and they weren't the right kind of guys for that locker room, that he was one of those guys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was very complimentary of JJ. Mm. And whenever I watched this interview, it was like 10 minutes talking about his time with Houston. One big storyline for you, mine's Omenihu, and breaking Mahomes' leg.
Can they run the ball with Joe Mixon? Because if they can't run the ball, then everything, obviously, with everything that comes along, they're protecting C.J. Stroud, being able to set up the pass. I think that falls apart if they can't run the ball with Joe Mixon. They haven't run the ball well in like three out of the last five games.
Yeah, those are good ones. The Othiquan on Airline, I know I butchered that, is hands down the best Tex-Mex. I challenge y'all to try. I've been there once. It was very good. All right, 713-780-ESPN. BZ Money. Killer B is going to hand out winners next. It's the B's on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, one more time before we hit the weekend, but just a quick note for Doc Linville. If you are looking for the perfect gift for yourself or you want your loved ones to take care of you this Christmas season, I would recommend that you go and check out Doc Linville and his staff and see what he can do for you if you're experiencing hair loss. If you have thin pattern baldness, if you have thinning hair and you don't think there's anything you can do, it's just going to eventually fall off and be fading away. I'm telling you right now, Doc Linville has solutions. It's your own hair. It'll be the same color, grow the same way. He gets results for just about everybody that comes his way. He does plastic surgery, spa treatments, and Botox, and so much more if you're looking for other ideas over the holidays. But the one that really takes care of you is all of the ways that he can get your hair back. And it works. And I'm here to tell you from living proof, because I went and did both the PRP treatments and I did the NeoGraft procedure. I have gotten extraordinary results. I just put the hat on, but I had the hat off the entire show, and you could see how much more hair I have than before I did the procedure. The NeoGraft is a game changer. It is going to change the way you look, and it is fantastic. And you get free information from Doc and his staff and a consultation that goes with it like I got, simply because you listen to me. If you listen to me and you want to talk to him, go to 975hair.com. Sign up for a free consultation. People off the street are paying $150. You get it for free. Go in and let them explain it all to you, and then ask questions, get answers, and start thinking about, hey, new year, new me. Do I really want to try and get my hair back and really change my outlook and my appearance and my self-confidence? I recommend you do it and have the consultation, because it costs you nothing. No signing on a dotted line or money out of pocket, just you getting information that might be a game changer in terms of your hair and your appearance. Check them out today and tell them I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com.
I make money moves.
Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
Oh, yeah. BZ Money, we hand you some winners. All right. We're going to sell to you two games apiece. We're going to win tons of money for you. Blankers currently leads the way, by the way. 14-9-1 on the year. I'm in second, 13-11. Bryant barely makes the podium at 10-13-1. We're up $60 on the year. 2 weeks ago, we were 1-3-1, lost just $75. But don't pay attention to that.
We could have had another win, but you guys monopolized the time and skipped me.
That's right. We did monopolize the time. And we would have won 6-0 last week had we done it. Just keep that
obviously
in mind. Yeah, we went 6-0 last week. Probably would have won $600. All right, Blankers, what's the first game that you're selling to us?
First game I'm selling you is in the AFC South. Indianapolis, after the embarrassing loss last week at Denver, is still trying to stay alive in the playoff push. They're at home where they do play better. Tennessee, without your boy Will Levis, offensively seems to be in disarray. Colts are giving up 3.5. I prefer that number at 3, but I like the Colts to win by at least 5 or 6. I take the Colts at home against Tennessee.
This game has me feeling nervous because the Titans made the change on Christmas week to Mason the red-nosed quarterback Rudolph. There's just too much in play there. No, I'm talking. I don't care about the joke. It's not about the joke. It's about how it's Christmas week.
I'm glad it's not about the joke, because it wasn't.
We're around Christmas and they're making the move to Rudolph. I believe in these kind of things. I'm fading this game.
I'll back Joel on this one. I also don't love it at 3.5, but Mason Rudolph, you mentioned making the start. It's on the road. Tony Pollard's banged up and nursing an ankle injury. Doesn't look like he's going to play, or at least be limited. So I'll take Indy minus 3.5 at home.
All right, how much y'all putting on it?
How much you ready to go?
25?
25's good.
Y'all hate Christmas.
No, we went 25, because it's like Christmas is on the 25th. So to kind
see,
of reverse the curse.
We're sticking with the theme.
We went with the theme.
Of bad jokes?
Yes, that's exactly it.
Y'all are Grinches. Can't believe they are going against Rudolph this close to Christmas. It is embarrassing. All right, first game that I'm going to sell to you guys. I don't believe in rookie quarterbacks in their very first game that they're starting in their NFL career. And I know Atlanta's playing a heck of a team. I know that they're playing the Giants. I don't even know who's starting for the Giants. Is it DeVito? Is it Drew Locke? I don't know.
I think it's Locke.
Even better. Drew Locke starting for the Giants. Michael Penix. Rookie game. They're favored by 8.5 in his debut start. Giants, wrong team. I think Atlanta wins this game.
That would be a hot take.
But I don't think that they covered the 8.5 points. It's actually up to 9.5 some places, by the way, which I think that I'm going to take advantage of that. Atlanta minus 9.5.
Is it on ESPN?
It was on my where I placed my bet.
Oh, no. We got to use ESPN here. Fair. What is it on ESPN?
It was 8.5 when I put it in the rundown this morning.
I could have changed between
Giants.
Now and then.
I'm going Giants. I played it at 9.5. I got 9.5 in this game, but we'll stick to ESPN. That's fine. That's consistent. I'll take the Giants plus 8.5 over the Falcons.
Atlanta's going to win the game. I don't like that number at all, because I'm with you on Penix going to make some mistakes, and that was when we were talking about the Cousins-Penix angle of this. I don't like that number. I think that Atlanta's going to win. I don't like it by that number at all, so I'm gonna stay away from it.
Yeah, I just checked out of curiosity if he had moved. It's still minus 8.5, and
I think I got a good number on it then.
I think, yeah, you did. I think that's too much for Atlanta. I honestly, even if they had a great quarterback right now, it feels like too much because I just don't trust. I don't know. I just don't trust them to win by that big of a number. I would go Giants plus the points as well.
All right. How much are we betting on the Drew Lock led Giants as they try to suck for the number one pick in the draft?
I don't want to bet much on Drew Lock.
Me either. 2025?
Yeah, that's fine. I think the last time we did this, we bet big on a lot of these, and it backfired.
I gave him an option. You're like my wife. I gave him an option A, option B, and he said that's fine.
That's exactly my wife. She will never make a decision.
Do you want option A? Do you want option B? Yeah.
I didn't say
which one?
I said that's fine.
Same thing. Do you want 20 or 25? That's fine.
Oh, I guess I didn't
hear you.
That's
not an answer.
No, I didn't hear you. I'll go 25.
All right. Thank you. All right. What's the first game you're selling to us?
Jeez. All right. I'll make this short and sweet so we can make sure we get all these in. Cincinnati minus 9. The Cleveland starting DTR. They're on their backup running backs. They're on the road. Cincinnati's motivated. Give me Cincinnati. Win huge. You can cover the 9-point spread.
I hate the 9 normally, but DTR and limited resources on Cleveland side, and Cincinnati still has an outside shot, but their offense is really tough to stop. I think Cincinnati will put up points. I don't mind putting the Bengals on this one.
A division game, AFC North tough. I faded it, but I'm okay with 25 on the Bengals.
Cool.
All right, next one, Blankers.
Next one for me, I've got the Vikings at Seattle. Geno Smith banged up.
Geno Smith
is going to try and play. I hate Geno. You're not
more
supposed to be able to go into Seattle and win. Green Bay did that when it's been a house of horrors for them in the past. I think Minnesota does the same. I think that you're going to see a Brian Flores defense that's going to be all over the Hawks. I think on the flip side, with the way that their offense is clicking with Jefferson and Addison, I think that the Vikings are going to win by more than a field goal.
Wrong team favored. I have Seattle winning this game outright.
Really?
Ooh, boy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I'm backing Joel again here. Look, I mean, the Seattle, I don't trust Geno. Unfortunately, because it proves my take wrong on DK Metcalf versus JSN. DK Metcalf hasn't done anything since he returned from injury about a month ago. Ken Walker's been in and out of the lineup. I don't trust Seattle here. I would go with Minnesota minus the points.
25 on Mini?
Yeah, I'm fine with that.
Next game I'm selling to you, Chicago-Detroit. Lions on the road. They're giving 6.5 on the road. Do not care. The Bears are a train wreck. Saying that's a train wreck. Detroit also embarrasses teams. They have no problem embarrassing teams. In fact, I think that they get off on it. I think they like the idea of embarrassing teams. They're willing to run up the score. They'll beat teams by 30. The Lions go into the Windy City. Careful saying that. And they destroy the Bears. Cover the number. Feedback? Anybody?
I like it, too. I like the fact that Detroit, even as banged up as they are, found a way to go, you know, blow for blow with the Bills. The only thing I was concerned about was weather. But other than that, I think Detroit can go into Chicago and win by a touchdown. So I'm fine with the Lions.
I do not like Goff outdoors. I remember a game Goff played with the Rams going back 5 years now where if you had him on your fantasy team that day, he got you negative points. So I would personally play Chicago 6.5, but I'm outvoted, so it doesn't matter.
What are we doing here then?
Another 25?
Yeah, let's do it. 25. All right, last game, Brian.
How about them Cowboys? Give me Cowboys plus 4, the home underdog. Cowboys have actually been playing decently as of late, won 3 of their last 4, and that one loss was a one-score game against the Bengals in their high-scoring offense. So I think Tampa being a little overrated here. Dallas has been playing really well. They're at home. They got 4 points to play with. Give me Dallas plus 4.
All right.
Dallas has not been good at home all year. I don't like Dallas because they're not playing for anything, but I'm still not completely sold on Tampa, and Tampa needs to win to hold the one game lead in the division. I don't like the Cowboys here. I think Tampa Bay is going to cover.
Yeah, I think I faded this game. I don't like either side of it. I think that it's in play. I have Tampa winning this game by 3, which means if I had to bet, I'd be on the Dallas side. But sounds like we're on the fence, and Brian's in last place. So it sounds like a DNP to me.
That's going to hit.
All right. Coming up next, car wreck of the day. What are the car wrecks of the day you have? 713-780-3776. It's the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
Let me see. Ah! fucking phone, you prick. Where's my money?
This is the Car Wreck of the Day.
All right, what do you nominate for Car Wreck of the Day? 713-780-3776. Don't forget, ESPN 975, your home for every single college football game, thanks to ESPN Radio. Starting tonight, Notre Dame, Indiana gets it all started. 6:30 coverage begins later tonight. And then
I'm with you.
Saturday broadcast begins at 11 as we air the next three games, including Texas and Clemson. All right, what's your Car Wreck of the Day?
To me, it's the New Orleans Pelicans. That is a rough franchise. They can't do wrong right. They have Zion and that whole debacle. They trade for veterans like C.J. McCollum and DeJounte Murray just to get older and worse, and they're not improving. They had picks. They had opportunities. They are stuck in the mud, and they are a bad basketball team.
Yeah, they're bad. They're really bad. Five wins. I want to get Brandon Ingram on the cheap. I want him to be a Houston
I think you
Rocket.
Could.
I want him to be a Rocket. I'm going to nominate aggregators on Twitter, local ones too.
They not just flat ones out that we have on Wednesday.
No. Not them. They flat out steal information. Like, Stressons doesn't do this, though. Like, these people are flat out copy and pasting, like, the Passons of the world and just, like, sources say, tweet. Without even quote tweeting, without even saying who said it.
Yeah, if I just take whatever they tweeted and retweeted.
Look, they're flat out copy and pasting.
And look like you're an expert.
Yeah, they're not giving any, like, and I'm like, I had to mute and unfollow somebody because of it. They were ruining my day. I even want to get to the point where I just say in the comments every time and tell me if I should do this. Source question mark.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
Should I do that, or should I try to be the maverick of justice here?
You've never shied away from that kind of stuff.
It drives me
nuts. I'm all for it. You
are the one that's reporting the news. Are you kidding me? All right, I'm going to do that. All right, what do you got, Brian? I'll do it for Christmas.
There's only one winner here. I think we could unanimously say it. It's DJ's Texas Barbecue take.
Yeah.
That's my nomination. I think that has to be the Car Wreck of the Day.
If you on the text line, Car Wreck DJ.
Car Wreck of the Year.
He just disrespected all of Texas with his food take. Not a mean text, but first off, Mason Rudolph, the red zone reindeer. There you go. Secondly, Branham and B-Mac.
Doesn't score much in the red zone.
Y'all being skeptical about my nomination for Car Wreck of the Day is the Car Wreck of the Day. This is Josh from Seabrook. Woody Johnson, remember Rudy? The story yesterday, Woody Johnson negated a trade for Jerry Jeudy because of his Madden's rating. So he's nominating us for not believing him. I didn't not believe you. It just sounded too fake to believe.
Because of Brick.
And then Brian gets nominated twice for wanting y'all to bet on the Cowboys and then also for saying that Loopy was better than Papacitos. All right,
stand by both. It's DJ.
I think it's DJ. It's DJ.
Gotta
be. Yep.
DJ.
Yeah, it's DJ.
You're our winner. All right, this is for us. Thanks to Brian. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you on Monday from Nick's Place, Notre Dame, Indiana, pregame at 6:30. Goodbye, Houston.
ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along. Which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free, at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. That's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. ZipRecruiter.com/zip.